So, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is SW Pod, Sounds and Stories, and you're listening to your new favorite host, Mandy. So, SW stands for CCSISIWOTE, water, which means all of us in Swahili, which is the language of Tanzania, which is where I'm from. So this is the podcast where you can engage on commentary on Black literature and Black music from the perspective of a casual reader and an everyday listener, which is me. And this is meant to be a two-way street. It's a discussion. That's why I use the word engage. So, you know, feel free to just jump into the commentary in the comments. You can use the hashtag SWPodUK to get involved and share your opinions, because everybody, you know, as long as you listen to music or read books, even very casually, you don't need to be an academic. You don't need to be a music historian. You just share what's on your mind and how you feel. So every episode, this is how it's going to work. We're going to be discussing a book and a song based on a theme that they share, a common theme. So first, we have the section called sounds. So that's when we talk about the song in relation to the theme of the episode. Then we have stories. We talk about the book in relation to the theme of the episode. And we finish off with soundtrack and stories, which is the playlist that I share with you guys. And I add 5 songs every single episode, which are also related to the theme of the episode. Okay. So coming up, we have sounds first. But today we have a guest on our episode. I'm very, very excited to get into the discussion, especially about the books with this guest. We have my friend Deborah. Everybody say hi to Deborah. Deborah is a publicist, a book publicist, works in publishing just like me. So I think we'll have a lot to discuss and talk about. So yeah, Deborah, how you been?
I've been great. Frequented 2 bookshops today.
Thank you.
Spent an unnecessary amount of money, but it was worth it.
Is it unnecessary? You know, when books are your source of joy.
It's unnecessary when I don't know where in my room I'm going to fit the books.
Fairs. Okay, so space issue.
Space is a big issue.
That's not bad. I don't feel like you can never have too many books.
It's true.
Yeah. In my house, I have a dream of having like this really, really huge library and like just beautiful bookshelves and like a beautiful view for me to read my books.
My issue is that I have a Kindle and I can actually like get books on there.
I don't like reading off screens. Like even when I used to have to read papers and stuff at uni, like reading off your laptop is just so I don't like that.
I like a physical book in my hand.
Yeah. And also covers, like just beautiful designs. I think it's fun, it adds color, it adds character to your room.
It's like decoration.
It is. I love when a book has like the book design, they actually put effort into it.
Yeah.
You know? But okay, cool. So this episode's theme is coming of age, emerging from my cocoon. That is the title. And we're going to be discussing this theme, as I said, in relation to the song of the episode and the book that we've chosen to discuss today. So let me give you a couple of clues as to what the song is and to what the book is. First, disclaimer, usually we talk about Black music and Black literature as in by Black artists and writers, but the song for this episode is not a Black artist, still POC though, but we're not Black, but the song is just like perfect for the theme, to be honest with you. So I made an executive decision because this is my podcast and I decided to put it in today's episode. And actually, this song is connected to you because you put me onto this song.
Yep.
Do you want to, like, without revealing the song, just like talk about how you discovered it, its connection to you?
This song, I used to listen to it after I broke off my, that, you know, that one situationship you had at 19.
Mm-hmm.
Broke it off, ended really badly. We lived in the same city. We went to the same uni. I was listening to this song and I was like, for confidence, to like in case I saw him on the street and I was like scared. And you know what it did? Like I listened to it a lot and then I saw him in the library and I was like, ooh.
You held your ground.
Yeah, I did. I was like sweating though, like my heart was like,
oh. I love that. It's, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's a song where you can feel that like you're going through an experience of like maturing.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? I feel like that's why I was like, this song just fits so perfectly with the theme of like coming of age. But yeah, okay. So actual clues, very silly clues. This artist is of mixed heritage, born to Chinese and Icelandic parents. Iceland was a bit of a rogue one. I didn't even know. You told me that.
Yeah.
They're from Iceland. I was like, rotted fares. And her artist name rhymes with payday or mayday. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Icelandic, so I feel like we're not saying the name right. But
in
you know,
the English pronunciation vaguely. Of our interpretation, vaguely, that's what it rhymes with. And another fun fact, the last fun fact is that they were semi-finalists on The Voice Iceland, and they're a finalist on Iceland's Got Talent. So I don't know if you're going to get it, but you might. So, you know, keep listening to find out who it actually is. And then for the book, today we've got a big time author in terms of modern literature. Like, it's a big name where I can't even really talk about the titles of the novels too tough because I feel like it would just give it away. But we're talking about her debut novel today. It's not autobiographical, but there's a lot of like references, like real life references to her life. And yeah, and her voice, this is probably the biggest clue. Her voice was featured on a very, very massive global superstars record.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever heard a writer be featured on music.
I think she's the only one that I know of.
I might be uncultured, but that's the only one I know of. And when I heard it, I said, wow, you're a big deal. I mean, even without her, that kind of, what do you call that? That homage or tribute to her. I was like, she's just a big name in the game, innit? Like, but yeah, we're dancing around, but keep listening to find out who the actual author is and what the book is. So, let's do a quick health check. We did a how, what have you been up to, but how is Deborah really?
Deborah's great. She's hitting the gym.
Nice.
She is, you know, she's doing her physio. The knee will be better.
Yes.
In time for rugby season at the end of this year. Excited for that. Yeah, Deborah's great.
Nice. Like rugby, you wouldn't expect Deborah to be doing rugby. How did you get into rugby?
I was bored.
Why rugby?
A girl in a year above me did rugby. Mm-hmm. And I looked up to her a lot because mm-hmm. she was just like a cool person. She's like someone who I've known since like first year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I kind of want to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me just follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a very shy person as well. Yeah. So I was like, oh, she can introduce me to people and like, it won't be so scary.
Yeah.
So then I just like went to like a taster session. I was like, this isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. Go to some training. And I was like, this is, you know what? Running into things, hitting people, you know, this is really helping me work out a lot of frustration in the week. Like,
interesting.
That one bad like lecture,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly I go to rugby training and I just have to go, whoa.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a lot better.
You know what's so funny? As you were telling that story, I was thinking, wow, this is so perfect for the theme of the episode. Look at you, like, coming into your own and your hobbies. And then you started talking about you can take out your frustration. And I was like, okay, like, I guess, you know, we're multifaceted people, so.
Honestly, I feel like I never saw myself as someone who could, like, play sports. Like, okay. I was always, like, I did sports when I was, like, young. But then I kind of, like, got insecure about myself and I stopped like doing things, stopped doing like hobbies. Like apart from reading, I didn't really do like team activities
because
I thought, oh, I'm going to slow everyone down. I'm going to be like really bad at it. Everyone's going to hate me. But then playing rugby, like I'm not good at rugby, but it's like fun and I was enjoying myself so much. I was like, I just can't care whether or not I'm like slowing everyone down or messing things up
because
really and truly I'm here to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm trying to make a career out of it. It's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. No, I love that. That's so, you know, I didn't even realize how perfectly that was going to fit into today's episode. But, you know, That's why I was drawn to pick you for this specific episode, you know? Anyways, so let's actually get into the song for the episode. So just a reminder, the theme of this episode is Coming of Age, Emerging from My Cocoon. That's the title. And the song that I've chosen for today is a song called Street by Street by Leve. Leve?
Leve.
Leve.
Yeah.
Cool.
Step by step, brick by brick, I'm reclaiming what's mine. This city is way too small to give away to just one guy.
So this song is so, I feel like all her music is very warm.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very good adjective. Genre-wise, I would say she's kind of like jazz, pop, very mellow jazz. I was reading about her and she was saying that Ella Fitzgerald and Chet Baker are two of her like stylistic inspirations. And you can kind of hear that in like the way, like the voice that she sings in. It's very like relaxed, chill. But yeah, I don't know. I was listening to her EP, which Street by Street, her first EP, which Street by Street is off, like it's on there. And I was like, this is really like just wonderful, very relaxing listening.
She's like one of my top artists on like Spotify Wrapped.
Really?
Like, consistently.
Consistently. I can see why. The music is quality.
When I like read in my room, I love to like put her music on.
Yeah.
Like with incense, like you know, maybe like put on like, you know, YouTube like fire.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like get the like a real setup and I'm just like in my Hackney flat, like kind of romanticized life.
No, it's actually a mood. Like it's such a, yeah, that is like what you described is how, if I close my eyes, that's literally what I can see. By the fireplace with your little blanket, it's kind of evening, like 6 p.m. Yeah. Like as the sun is setting, you're just very cozy. That's the word. Cozy. That's exactly what the word is. But I also, as I was listening to the EP, I listened to a song called James and I thought, no, this is like the most elegant dragging I've heard of a person.
Have you seen her? She made like a fake song about her twin sister.
Is it?
And it's just like, Julia's a bitch. She's a dumb, but to like the most elegant jazz literally music ever.
And her voice is so gentle.
Gentle. And she's literally dragging her toes with me. She's a dumb bitch.
It's so funny. It's funny. In the song, she's just cussing at James. It's just like, you were just a rubbish. I'm just like, yes. But it's so peaceful at the same time. I'm like, it's crazy that your own spoke, but this is the delivery. Like, I love that for you.
People on TikTok have been like remixing her music to like, what's that Tupac song where it's like,
oh, I fucked your bitch.
That's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. They're remixing her music to that.
Hit 'em up. That's what it's called. Oh my gosh. That's too funny.
And it sounds actually good though. That's the maddest thing. It sounds like I would actually listen to that. But it's just like such a weird fusion of like,
yeah,
gentle music and like, that's why I fucked your bitch.
It's funny because it's like when you hear it sonically, you're like, ah. But then like you listen to the words and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. Like this doesn't actually match. But I love it. I love it. I still love it. Okay. So let's get into the actual song. What did you, in terms of the theme of coming of age, what thoughts sprouted in your mind?
Like the lyric where she's like, I'm reclaiming what's mine. That, it spoke to me. Literally. Like, I literally was like, again, like, when I listened to the song, it was, like, coming out of that situationship and being, like, I lost so much of, like, self-respect. Mm-hmm. Like, as you do in a situationship, to be honest, like, it really does happen. And when I listened to the song, I was like, I got to reclaim some self-confidence and, like, self-respect back. Like whatever happened, whatever, like, it happened, it happened. Mm-hmm. But, like, I can't, like, think less of myself because of it. Like, I like this city. Like when she's like, I'm taking back my city, I'm taking back my life.
Yeah.
Like I like the city. I like walking around the streets of Oxford. I like the rivers. I like, you know, I like all of it. So when it was like, I'm reclaiming what's mine, it mm-hmm. felt like I'm reclaiming everything that I loved.
Yeah.
And like myself as well. Yeah. Because what I love is part of like kind of how I see myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it for me.
You know, you're literally reading my notes. I'm like, those are the two lyrics I picked out. I'm reclaiming what's mine. I also highlighted like step by step, brick by brick, because I feel like, you know, like the process of like getting into your 20s, becoming an adult, I feel like it's the first time you start exploring who you are. And obviously, like, who you are is like a lifelong thing. Like, you're never like the same person forever, you know? But like, you start doing that. But it's always, it's like very tentative, it's like very slow. And I feel like, I don't know, step by step, brick by brick, it's very simple. And it's like, it is what it is, does what it says on the tin or whatever. But I don't know. I felt like sometimes you need to say things in a literal way for them to like sink in, if that makes sense. Because I feel like also being in your 20s can feel very crazy. But like when people just like remind you of just simple like facts, it's like, wait. Yeah. All this time, just step by step, and you'll be fine, kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, I really, you literally took the words right out of my mouth.
Like in relation to what you said, like my friend always says to me, like whenever I'm like, oh, like this is really stressful, like I'm doing terribly, like I'm, you know, I'm so silly. My friend's like, you know, it's your first time here, like. Literally take it step by step, brick by brick. Like it's your first time being alive. Like you haven't done this before. So like you can't, you know, you make a mistake, you like get into a bad situationship.
Or yeah.
You do badly on an essay or you know, you didn't get the grades you wanted. Step by step, brick by brick.
Chill. And like I feel like this song, when you put on your story is like towards the end of uni, and that was a time when I don't know. I had been since like, I think probably about 17, I had been going through a process of like rediscovering who I am. Cause I was like, you know, you kind of step away from like the projections and the ideas and images people put onto you, especially like, you know, parental figures, authority figures. So I'd kind of slowly been doing that from like 17. And then I got to the end of uni where I was going through like a second phase of that, where I was like, okay, like I've kind of like figured out a bit of who I am, but then it's like, what am I gonna do, kind of thing, which is like a separate thing because you've never really thought about like doing career, all of that sort of stuff. And when I listened to the song, I really felt like assured by the fact that it's okay to kind of lose yourself and then like go back onto that journey of like, you know, reclaiming yourself. I think that uni period, early 20s, actually I don't even know about the rest of your 20s, but so far from what I've seen of it, is very much that going back and forth between like, what am I doing, who am I, kind of thing, and then being like, no, it's okay, like I know who I am and I'm confident in myself, and discovering like new things about yourself, like you like in rugby, who knew,
random,
do you get it? Me rediscovering like getting back into books, because I used to read a lot when I was younger, but I think I just lost touch with that. But coming back into it and like also like rediscovering my taste, like things that you lost like touch with, but like coming back into it as a new version of you is quite like cool to find out. But see you, twin. I see you, twin. I feel like we're probably good with that segment. I don't know if I want to give more info about the artist.
I should. You know what? I there's a song that she wrote, Letters to My 13-Year-Old Self, which I think is also
relevant for this. I love Letters to My 13-Year-Old Self. I love that song. I started listening to it like maybe a few weeks ago. I was like, this is a beautiful song.
It's kind of inspired me. I want to write a letter to my 13-year-old self. But like, I feel like I'm not in the best place right now to reassure my 13-year-old self. But
it's like, girl, we are flopping. We're in our flop era.
And I think I was like, I think I had a better mental health headspace at 13 than I did.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now. Because yeah. at 13, I went to like an all girls Catholic school in West Essex.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a very diverse school. Like a lot of my, most of my year were black. And if they weren't black, they were like Nepalese or like they were Irish Catholic or like white working class. Like it was very like, it was like, felt like I'm like very much with my people.
Mm-hmm.
And then 14, my mom, I sat the exam for like a grammar school and I got in. Completely different experience. I think maybe I should write a letter to my 14-year-old self because that was when she I experienced like everything that Lebe says in letters to my 13-year-old self. Like, I'm sorry they pick you last.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm sorry they make fun of your like, was it brown eyes and curly hair? Like, I felt like I stood out. And like, I wasn't the only black girl in my year. And like, I'm just like, maybe they also didn't feel the same way. But for me, it was coming from such an environment where people looked like me.
A lot of belonging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt so out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And like, now, when I look back, I think that like, a big reason why I didn't enjoy school was because like, I understood like very much that I was like, I felt like an odd one out so much. I remember crying on my first week and being like, Mom, take me back.
That's take so me back interesting.
To my old school. I can't do this. This makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
They're talking about five sauce and the vamps. And I don't know what that five, is.
I said they're talking five about Joey Sun. I said 5 seconds of summer. Five sauce, not the acronym.
They said five sauce. Joey Sugg, Casper, Joey all this stuff. And I was like, this is so alien to me. This is not like in my old school it was like Queen's Speech, like the rap, they like every, no one knew what that was then, and I felt like I didn't understand like who I was or like who I was supposed to be. I went through so many identity crises where like I felt like I had to like be as white as possible, so like I had to like watch all the Joey Sugg videos and be like, oh, I love him, he's such a cute like, I don't give a heck about these people. Like, it just didn't, like, it wasn't really the kind of content that I actually liked or grew up on. I felt like I had to like it to, like,
to fit
get along with, like, the people I was around. Like, I wanted, like, I think I got, like, my mom let me get my first weave when I was in that school because that was when I really wanted it. But before then, it was, like, I was so happy with braids, like, I never thought anything of it. And I don't know if it's an effect of like getting older or the environment I was in. But then
maybe a bit of both.
Yeah. And I went to sit for him in East London and I was like, hey, I'm back. I know who I am again.
I'm back again. Oh, we are so back. These are all the little, all the black girls or everybody then just, yeah.
But now like, where, like I'm so conscious now of like the way I speak. Because I feel like there's a bit of Essex in it. There's also a bit of London in it. And like, London people can tell I'm from Essex. Essex people don't hear the Essex anymore. Because it's like, gone. But like, I'm just like, do I sound too white? Or do I sound like a Londoner? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm so conscious of it because I feel like because of the environment I was in, I grew up so like, closely in like white environments.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like that.
Yeah, I hear it.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. But at the same, I don't think you do. I think you just sound normal. I don't know what I mean by that, but you just sound like, you sound fine. Just to let you know, you sound perfectly okay. You just sound like you to me. I don't like make any, I try not to do this anyway, but I don't make any assumptions about you based on the way that you're speaking.
Yeah. It's one of those things like, it's all like self-imposed and it's like how you see yourself. So like with this like theme of like
coming of age
as you get older you kind of like start forming your own identity, your own personality, and like I feel like you start analyzing different parts of yourself. Like oh, now that I have locks, I feel like is that influencing like who I am now?
So real, so real. Like, I need an arm cuff. Like, I need an arm cuff and a flowy skirt.
Like, I actually bought flowy skirt. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a flowy skirt girly now.
What do you call it? A turban. Start knowing how to wrap your turban.
Like, it just feels like every part of yourself influences who you see yourself as.
Yeah, true.
Like I usually wear glasses. Like, am I like, do I like nerdy things because I wear glasses?
Oh my gosh, my sister's the worst at that. She's like, I used to think that you were a nerd just because you used to wear glasses. Come to find out, sis actually needed glasses herself. So now she's having her own identity.
Can you imagine?
Crisis.
Can you imagine?
But the Lord works in mysterious ways. But anyway, that's literally what she said to me. And I was like, I know you've got, she didn't like make it up. She's got it from somewhere. And like, I've had that thing of like, you know, something so dumb as just having these to correct my vision. Like now, like there's a whole personality trait and like now I'm unpicking what parts of that are true and not true and all of this. But nah, so real. I feel like, yeah, that journey of like, yeah, just rediscovering yourself is, it's hard, you know, because sometimes you ever find out a part about yourself that you don't like?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this links nicely to the book. Like, the main character in the book, I feel like she does go through a journey of rediscovery, but I think she finds out some things that she struggles with because you're like, this is a bit ugly. this is a bit icky. But, okay, before we get into the book properly, just a reminder of the theme. We just said it's coming of age. Imagine from your cocoon. And the book that we're going to be discussing today is Purple Hibiscus. Debut. There we go. There she is. We've got two versions. We've got the same. Is this... What print is this? Is this like Ankara cloth or something?
Hey.
Girl.
Don't expose me.
I don't want to beef the Nigerians, but... anyways... It's a very beautiful book cover. And Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's debut novel. I feel like there's a lot to unpick in terms of coming of age. For me, that was like the top three themes. What would you say the top three themes are in the book for you?
Coming of age, definitely. Like... Oh, well, I won't go into that. Yeah, but coming of age, family relationships, culture, tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my top three.
Top three, yeah. I feel like coming of age is one, obviously. I feel like I don't know what the word is, but like parental relationships, but in a way of like parental wounds. You know, people talk about daddy issues in a very specific type
parental
of way.
Trauma.
Yeah, parental trauma. I feel like that's a big theme. And like just authoritarian trauma as well. Because I feel like the way, we might as well just get into it, I'll be real.
Yeah.
The way she then interacts. Okay, so let me give context. We're just jumping into it straight. So Purple Hibiscus follows the story of this family. Main character is a girl called Kambidi, and she has a brother called older brother called Jaja, and they're a family of four, so mom, dad, two kids, and it's a very authoritarian, strict household, like with the dad as the head of the family, and is very regimented, what's his business? Is it a newspaper?
That's all he does on the side, but like he owns like factories.
Yes.
That's where he's like a big man, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah. Factories and and he's very Catholic.
Yeah.
Very Catholic.
Very, very religious.
Yeah. And I feel like that Catholic church structure.
It's not even like, yeah, it's the fact that it's not even that he's that Catholic, it's the way that within the Catholic Church they lord
Yeah.
They like white people.
Yeah.
Like, for him, like,
is the white supremacy of it all.
A black Nigerian Catholic priest was less than a white British Catholic priest.
Yeah. Especially when, like, with the incorporation of, like, I'm pretty sure that priest, like, there's a bit where the visiting priest comes to give, it's not a sermon, no, do mass, is that the correct mass, terminology? Yeah. And he incorporates, like, an Igbo worship song.
Yeah.
And, like, he starts literally bugging out because he's like, this is not how things are done. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And I feel like he just replicates all of the hierarchy and everything in the household.
Yeah.
And it's oppressive. Like, it's oppressive in both instances. And you can really feel it because he also is physically abusive as well. So it's, like, not just, like, emotionally and psychologically. Just, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Like a cycle as well. That's a like mad thing because it's like white Catholic priest did that to him.
Yeah.
Like abused him as a child.
Yeah.
And then so he now continues that cycle of abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Real. It's really, really actually very heartbreaking to be honest with you. The story, like I found particularly the mom, like I found
it so distressing. The kind of thing about her, like, every time she'd get beaten, she'd like clean
the
ornaments.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is heartbreaking. This
literally,
is horrible.
Literally, it's like an actual trauma response. Like, you know, when people talk about like OCD, that is actual, I feel like that is like a manifestation of actual OCD, like diagnostically. That's not the word. But yeah, very heartbreaking book. But in terms of coming of age, I feel like the kids are probably the best like representation of that theme. Weirdly enough, I actually thought they were a lot younger than they were in the beginning of the book.
By design.
Yeah.
Because like their education is so like traditional. It's so like, what's the word, repressed?
Yes.
So like even like sexual health or like, you know, sex education.
Yeah.
They have none of that. They have such a meek and innocent,
yes,
like demeanor to them.
Yes.
That's by design, by fear of their father.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they act, it seems a lot more immature, a lot more younger. Like you especially see it when they meet their cousins.
Yeah.
Because their cousins are so like talkative. They can talk about capitalism and neocolonialism and all these big words. And Kambili's like, how
do you even speak? She can't like, even really speak outside, like, not outside of like being told to speak or being asked a question, or she can't offer her own opinions, thoughts. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. I actually thought they were like maybe 11, like early secondary school when I was reading it, but come to find out they're like, you know, at the end of secondary school, they're like 15. Because at the end of the book, spoiler, the brother goes to prison.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I thought he was like 13.
Bro, that wouldn't stop Nigerians anyway.
There's, but I was like, bro, like this, but he was like, I was like, this guy is actually a grown man, which is crazy. But like, I guess you see him come into his own when there's, like parts of the book where they go and visit their auntie, and there's like her children are the ones who are like outspoken. They have their own thoughts, they're their own people. They don't live in like the shadow of their mom or anything. And you can kind of see like he just kind of comes into his own and just like slowly becomes. There's like that bit where he like goes to wash his auntie's car like of his own, and Kambili's so shocked that he's just like doing this thing without being told or allocated a time to do it. Do you get what I mean? Like
he talks a lot about his like body changing as well, like his shoulders becoming more like muscular,
broad.
Like she's starting to see like in their home he was her brother and he was a boy because that's the way that their father treated them. As soon as when they get to their auntie's house, he starts to become a man, and she like sees it like a man in the sense like he's coming to his own. He has his own opinions, he's his own person,
yeah,
rather than just an extension of their father.
Yeah, Yeah, you really see that. The thing I would have, a critique I think I have, is I would have liked to have seen more the thought process as to how Kimberly comes, like, has that process of maturing. Because for me, I feel like the trigger was, there's just one time where Auntie Fioma's like, do you not have, like, a voice? Like, are you not going to chat back? Because her cousin always gets onto her about not being able to do things. But her cousin's coming from the perspective of, like, oh, you think you're too...
Like, they think that she's stush.
You think you're too good for her. She's a posh girl, da-da-da-da-da. But actually, she doesn't know that she, like, she's being, like, under the thumb of her dad. And she can't even go to say, like, it's not even my fault that I can't do these things. And she just always gets onto her, you don't know how to peel, what is it, yam. Yeah. You don't know how to make this soup. And then finally, Auntie Afirma's like allowing her and being like, okay, it's fine. Because she kind of understands, because her brother, innit? She knows how he is. But then one day, I feel like she just has enough. She's just like, can you just not speak? So he's like, just defend yourself. Are you just going to let
it's
her?
Enough, like.
Do you get it? And then... I feel like after that, it's kind of when you start to see her, like, she actually says something. She's like, no, like, I just don't know how to do this thing. But you can show me how to do it. Like, it's quite simple. But I would have liked to have seen more, like, because we hear so much beforehand about her apprehension, her fears about talking. You can feel how, like, scared she is. But I would have liked to have seen, like, hear more from her about the process of, like, letting go of that fear?
I feel like it did. I think I saw it, but, like, in...
Really?
In her relationship with Father Amadi.
This is one thing I didn't like. I was like, why did we need him?
A little bit. No, but I think it was necessary. Because
I think it was necessary, but...
She talked before about how, like, her father would never, like, let her date. Like, she couldn't, like, even think about kissing a boy or, like, talking to another boy. She goes to an all-girls Catholic school, like... The only boy she talks to is her brother.
Mm.
So that day where, like, she puts on shorts for the first time because her father runs a tight ship, they can't wear, you know, they can't even wear trousers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to wear skirts that go past their knee.
Mm-hmm.
She puts on shorts for the first time and she meets Father Maddy, develops a crush.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as you see the crush develop, you see her become more and more comfortable with Father. Like, before she, like, would just sit on the side and, like, she wouldn't play. And then she was, like, racing with him, laughing with him. And then towards the end, like, confesses her love.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously he's like, hey, I'm a Catholic priest, so you're a child.
That was crazy, actually. But he was entertaining it. Like, I was looking at him service. I said, first, like, of all,
you're getting a bit too close. Getting a little bit too close there.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like you saw her kind of start let go of those that fear. And I think for me it came through that relationship, or, like, at least that crush, like, her first crush was on a Catholic priest.
No, I guess, yeah, I do think it was necessary, and I do agree with you, she does open up more through that relationship, but I would have liked to have heard it more, because we heard so much before. Do you get what I mean? It would have been nice that, because you see it, but I would have liked to have heard that in a monologue a bit more.
I feel like I would have seen it as unrealistic.
First.
Like, I feel like...
Maybe, do you think she didn't even realise that she was...
I think, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it's perhaps... Maybe I'm just a Chimamanda defender. But, like, I feel like it's very much by design. She is the psychological effects of her father's abuse stick with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she's constantly, like... Even when, like, her father, like, dies, she's just like, I can't believe a man as great as that could ever die.
Mm.
It's like, girl, you should be celebrating.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you're free.
You're free, literally. But I feel like it's so interesting. This is not really related to the theme, but I found it really interesting, like, the breakdown of everything after he dies. Like, everybody breaks down. Which is, like, weird, because everybody should be, like, breaking almost free, but they just, like, they literally crumble. Like, nobody is okay.
I think it's like, I don't know. I guess it's like an effect of like what he meant to different people.
Yeah.
Because like for Ifeoma, it's like that's her brother, and like he's a terrible person. Like, girl, you're free from this loser. But he was also like a source of income for her as well. Like, for her to support three kids after, like, as a widow in Nigeria, like, there's a lot of like, the book talks about it a lot, but like strikes, and lecturers don't get paid very well at all. So she's supporting her kids off of that, and she relies heavily on her pretty wealthy brother to support them, and then essentially her source of income kind of is gone. Then for the mom, it's like she retreats into herself because not only, spoiler, did she kill him by poison, she also has lived her whole life, even under her father, under this idea that the man is the head of the household. You follow in his lead. He's supposed to lead you. She not only kills the head of the household, but now she no longer has him. So she also doesn't know what to do with herself, even though she does have that freedom. Like, what can she even do with it? Someone who didn't go to university, someone who doesn't, who's never worked a day in her life. Like, her job very much was to be a woman in the house, go to church, have kids. And like, he even barely let her do that, but let her like believe it's her fault that he beat her into having a miscarriage.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think it's like an effect of like what, even though he's such a terrible person, what he meant to each of these people is different. And like the absence of him in their lives, even though they're free, that freedom is so like limited still.
It's almost like debilitating. Like, it's like, I think it's like, what do you call it? Humans are creatures of habit, innit? So it's like when that breaks and like, when the habit is so like, how do you say this? Confining, you kind of mold to the shape of the confinement. So it's like, I can't even really move out of this now that I'm free, but it's like, I don't even know what shape I want to take. I'm kind of, do you get what I mean in terms of that analogy? It's like, I don't know who I'm going to be, but also it kind of hurts to break out of that because you've been so kind of dependent on that cycle of how it was before.
It's like breaking in, like, I guess, like new shoes.
Mm.
Like, where, like, okay, let's see, like, my docs in it. I've worn these docs for like 3 years now. They're like perfectly shaped, like my feet. Like, when I, like, you know, if I'm on my tiptoes, like, they perfectly bend at the right place. Now, if I was to get like a new pair of docs, you have to, like, it's painful to break them in because they're not molded to like how you're used to. And
even if how you're used to is like the wrong.
Even if these docks were like falling apart and like, you know, broken, like I can't go back to them. And I do have to like move on to like a new pair. But it's like, it's still painful. It's still like a struggle.
Yeah.
And I think like that's the same thing. Like,
yeah. Look at us giving analogies. Come on, publishing. But yeah, I think we'll leave it there in terms of the book. So just to finish off the episode, we've got Soundtrack and Stories, which is the playlist that's updated on a weekly basis. I add 5 songs to the episode, and the 5 songs that are related to the theme of the episode. So yeah, if you want to tune in to the playlist, it's on Spotify. It's going to be on our social media at SWPod UK on all, like, Instagram, TikTok, all your socials. And yeah, if you want to add in to any of the things that me and Deborah have been discussing in terms of the book, in terms of the song, in terms of just the theme in general, you want to share like your experiences of like how you, your coming of age process was, you can use the hashtag SWPodUK, and yeah, just like at us, and just keep discussing and keep that conversation open. So getting back into Soundtracking Stories. So for this episode, we've got 5 songs. Deborah, I have not told you what these 5 songs are, but if you have any special connection to any of them, you know, just, you know, feel free to share your thoughts. So first song that we're adding this week is 21 by Ira Starr. I really like the line from it that says, "You say I'm too young, too foolish. Well, I became myself despite what you said," which I feel like is a little bit of an ode to Cambly. I don't think she's quite real, like she would be able to verbalize it, but I think that that is the direction that she's going towards, despite that like forceful presence of her father. She does become like, through like, you know, going and being with her cousins, being around her auntie, like she does her crush on Father Ahmadi. Like, you know, despite all of that, she does actually eventually find herself. But yeah,
like, Ira Starr, she's Nigerian. She gets a lot of like flack from Nigerians being like, "You're showing too much skin." Mm-hmm. Nigeria is a very conservative society. Like, not so much against like amongst the younger generation, but people often view her as like, "Like, why are you like dressing like a prostitute?" kind of vibe, because it's very judgy. It's like, same with like, very similar to Cambly, they're both experiencing kind of an oppressive traditional view that's projected onto them that they might not necessarily even want. And Ira Starr being like, you know,
I'm gonna do me,
and you know, she's doing extremely well, literally.
But yeah, so second song is classic 20 Something by SZA. I just love this song. Honestly, I've cried, I've loved, I've reminisced, I've like romanticized my 20s with this song. Yeah, a line that I really like from it is, "Hoping my 20 somethings won't end, hoping to keep the rest of my friends, praying the 20 somethings don't kill me." And that's so true, because sometimes the fear of the unknown is so great that I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to make it through? Like all these, you might not even be doing a lot, but sometimes I just feel like the weight of life just gets onto you, and you're like, because your 20s is like the first time you're doing life by yourself independently, and you're responsible for the things that go right and the things that go wrong. And I feel like, because it's the first time you step into that responsibility, you're like, well, damn. Like, this is some scary stuff.
The first night I moved out, and like the first night in my new flat, I like cried, because I was like, this is so scary. Like, literally, I now have to pay rent and bills and like all the stuff that my mom used to just like do for me. I have to do it myself. Like, I have to, like, well, I've always been cooking for myself, but like, I have to go out and like buy the groceries by myself. Like, I have to like build like a life. And I was like, this is terrifying.
Terrifying. Honestly, I'm not even at that point, but I'm just like, so real. But the thing is, what you always have to remember is like, you're responsible for the things that go wrong, yes, but you're also responsible for the things that go right, which like, I feel like is encouraging. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's nice for things to be up to you, like for things to be in your hands, because it's like you can do something about it. That makes sense. So, but yeah, 20s is it's a scary time, but we'll make it through, I'm sure. And my third song is a song called "Dream Big" by Jasmine Sullivan, who I love, one of my top artists. And favorite line from the song is, "I got to dream big." She says some more words. I got to move fast, because when it happens, I can't let it go past. I've only got one chance. And kind of on the other side of like the vibe of SZA's 20 something, I feel like sometimes you do feel like the potential of possibilities being like this age. It's like, wow, like I've got my whole life to, you know, become this amazing person like me. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that is encouraging, and sometimes it is motivating, because I'm just like, you know what? Might as well, like, it's just this one life and I'm young. Like, I've got the energy, I've got the time. Yeah, like there's that possibility, I feel like, is motivational for me sometimes. I don't know if you feel the same, but
I think one thing one thing that was on my New Year's resolution was literally that. Like, stop, like, making yourself too scared of opportunities, because, like, you really do only get one chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to, like, think to yourself, oh, what if I had, like, it's one thing I always tell, like, people who are, like, thinking about, like, applying to, like, universities, who they feel like, oh, I just won't get in. Mm-hmm. It's like, the worst thing they can do is say no.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that can happen is that you just fail that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to get to, like, 5 years, like, 5 years down the line, and you look back and you think, I just really wish I had tried that thing. Mm-hmm. Or I really wish that, you know, I'd just given it a go, because it's going to, like, the idea of failing
mm-hmm.
is going to seem so inconsequential
mm-hmm.
in the future, versus when you're in the moment, it feels like
this is the
biggest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not.
Yeah. And also, I feel like you don't want to have regrets. But the thing is, you can always change your mind. Mm. I feel like, you know, people always say that thing about COVID, a lot of people pivoted and started new careers and started new. And I feel like it's just true, though. Like, at any point, if you do have regrets, there's some things you can't get back and redo, but you can just start again, or, like, start the thing now. Like, there's no, I don't think that's a bad thing, or I don't think it's like there's a too late for a lot of things, you know?
I was actually saying to my auntie today, like, my mom is like, okay, I won't say my mom for a while, but my mom is my mom. And she couldn't swim, and she took swimming lessons last year.
Yeah.
She also, like, wanted to get into, like, going to the gym, and she, like, probably had a reservations at the beginning, like, oh, a woman my age, like, would that make sense? Let me at the gym. If you see my mom now, Miss Fitness Influencer, she'll bring her tripod, her camera to the gym. I'm not even joking. She's got her, like, you know, those core belts. She, like, she's proper into it.
I love that.
And it wouldn't have happened. Like, she wouldn't discover that she has, like, she enjoys going to the mm-hmm. gym, if not for the fact that she just went that one time mm-hmm. and, like, told herself, like, hey, it's not too late. Like, it's not like I'm not at the end of my life where I just can't do anything. Like, I still can.
Yeah. No, I love that. Shout out, Auntie. Big her up, man. And the last one is a song called Chat to Me Back by Lady Saw, which you might think is a little bit random, because she's talking about girl trying to teeth a man and basically telling them to just fuck off. But what I like about it is the confidence that is in the song. Simple, the, like, catchy hook is chat to me back, because this is a buddy that a girl can't I'm pretty sure the words are no, but I feel like I read that as you can't be me because I'm me,
period.
Do you get what I mean? And that's not even like to say that nobody, like, you can be you. I'm going to be me, though.
Yeah.
And I'm sick. Like, just chat to me nice. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, because, yeah, like, I feel like that is, like, the other side of coming through that period of, like, finding yourself. And then being like, nah, I'm actually that girl, you know? Like, I'm that person. I'm him. I'm her. I'm them, I'm everybody. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's me. Like, and yeah, I don't know. I like the energy of the song, and I feel like it kind of fits with, like, the different, like, coming of ages, like, all these different parts and processes. And I feel like one of them is being like, nah, like, rate me. Like, I'm that. I'm her. Like, but, yeah, that's the five songs that we're adding to this week. If you've got other songs that you think you would add to the playlist, you know, let us know in the comments. Let us know on socials. But we are at the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Deborah, for being on the episode.
Thank you for having me.
Chatting through everything. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. So this is SW Pod Sound and Stories on all podcasting platforms. If you search that up, you'll find us. Follow us on socials to keep up to date with everything we've got going on. So that's SW Pod UK on everything: Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, X, YouTube, everything. And if you want to be featured potentially on Let Me Tale You, like TALEU, like Let Me Tale You, like, you know, SW Ford, Sounds and Stories books, you know, where you basically can send in stories related to like the theme of the episode or inspired by something we've spoken about on the episode, maybe the song, the book, whatever it is, and you can send it to swpoduk@gmail.com, and I'll read it out and we'll discuss if you feel happy to share. It will be anonymous, so like we won't know who you are and we're not going to reveal your identity, so you can share to your heart's content. But yeah, make sure you look into the next episode if you want to keep up with more casual commentary on songs and books that share a common theme. And yeah, that's it basically. I've been your host Mandy, and you've been listening to SW Pod Sounds and Stories. See you in the next one.